This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Our listeners can go to klausfinancial.com for more information. KLAASfinancial.com. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. And joining us here in studio, Steve Scow and Kyle Kite. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike. How's it going, Mike?
Before we get into the retirement questions we're going to answer here today, the Bears finally got a win, Steve, huh?
Yeah, they did, Mike. You know, I was saying go Bears a couple of weeks ago, and they finally heard me.
Yes. And your Vikings, Kyle, undefeated. They play the – who do they play? Oh, they play the Giants tonight, Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't remember who they played, but I knew they were on tonight. And yeah, we're looking good considering we're on our second quarterback and second and third running back. So
yeah, the most brilliant trade of – the entire offseason was that one between the Vikings and Eagles. Both teams are undefeated now, even though they kind of switched quarterbacks there, or at least you know, the Vikings have the Eagles' old quarterback. In any event, I know that Social Security is something that we're going to be talking about today. And a lot of people, and we're going to ask that question, the Klaus Quiz question of the week later on. The winner this week will win a $25 gift card for Starbucks. But before we get into Social Security, taking a step back to financial planning in general, we talk about financial planning, we talk about the future, but let's just define what financial planning is for those of us who aren't really that familiar with it. What is financial planning?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. So we like to discuss this because, as you guys know, there's a lot of different people that call themselves financial advisors, and they may not all be holistic financial planners. So we just think this is an important definition for people to understand. So when we talk financial planning, we're talking about the holistic picture, and that includes your not only your investments, but also how do your insurances look, how are your estate plans set up, and then what type of tax ramifications could we be subject to, and things like that. So it's the whole picture that we look at. And then also it's the psychological part of it. Sometimes we joke that a lot of our biggest part of our job is talking people off the ledge sometimes, because they get all worked up when the market's not doing well, and trying to convince them to hold tight and do all that is one of the biggest things that we have to do. So that's a big one. And then also, you know, we're obviously, you guys hear us talk all the time about specializing in retirement planning. That's obviously what we do in our specialty. But we do have a lot of clients of all ages, and everybody is planning for retirement, no matter how old you are at some point. So that's kind of what our niche is, and that's what we focus on. And we always, you know, go through some of the things that we do with clients is going through different analysis and things like that. It can be a life insurance analysis. It can be an income and expenses analysis and all these types of things. We have various programs and various different plans that we work through with people. So that's why we like to just, you know, like I said, specialize and focus on what the whole picture, financial planning picture is, as opposed to, you know, you think of stockbrokers in the 80s and the 90s. You think of the Wall Street movie Wolf of Wall Street and things like that, where they would literally just call people and try and offer them a stock tip and things like that. And that's not really financial planning. So we just want to make that distinction clear.
Excuse me, Mike.
There's just one other aspect that, as Kyle was mentioning initially, is also from the standpoint of the retirement planning specifically, is what are you going to do with all of your time when you retire and are no longer working outside the house? Because many times we'll kind of jokingly talk with spouses and, you know, ask how many years they've been married, and it might be 30 or 40 or whatever when they retire. And I said, you know, probably for the most part, you've been married that long because you aren't around each other 24/7. Now what are you going to do?
Right. And it's something that I know the word holistic is talked about as a way to tie all these things together, right? Not just financial planning, but investments, insurance, and all that kind of stuff.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, you know, the time with your spouse and looking beyond that if one of you departs at not the same time as the other one, which happens all the time. Well, and that we can get into estate planning. What is estate planning, and how can this benefit anyone?
That's a great question. And in its simplest form, Mike, it really boils down to when you pass away, who do you want to get your stuff and how. That's in its simplest format. Now, we always point out that it's a very important aspect of the retirement planning process, but we are, however, not attorneys, so we do not write the actual documents. We coordinate with other professionals that can help our clients take care of those legal documents. But from a discussion standpoint, again, it can be powers of attorney for property, your will, powers of attorney for health care, living trusts. There's a lot of different aspects. You know, and with HIPAA nowadays, you have to have medical releases. So many times it's a matter of just helping people understand what they may or may not need from a document standpoint and directing them to that attorney that can do that legal work for them from an estate planning standpoint, who is normally what the type of individual that we'd be suggesting. And those documents, sometimes people will say, well, I just haven't had time to do it, or I'll get around to it, or, you know, whatever the case may be, because it's not always a high priority, understandably. At the same point in time, there are many of those documents that are very important even while you're on this earth and still working, such as powers of attorney for property and health care and things like that, because we don't know when things can change.
815-398-9765. If you have questions at all about any of this, 815-398-WROK. What about life insurance and long-term care insurance? How important are these things?
Yeah, these are very important things that we talk about with all of our clients. And this is, again, looking at that whole picture. Some advisors don't take this stuff into account. So we like to look at all this kind of stuff. Some of the most common uses for life insurance are obviously an income replacement or to pay off debt. So typically your younger clients are really looking for a bigger life insurance policy because maybe they got to put kids through college or, you know, pay off the mortgage and pay off all the debts and things like that. But then once you get later into life, they can be used for legacy planning. So you might buy a big life insurance policy, and that's what you use to pass on to the kids if you don't have big IRAs or anything like that. And then this also ties into charitable planning and things like that, where you can buy a life insurance policy and name the charity as beneficiary as a way to help the church or the charity that you love working with, things like that. But then the other aspect of this is the long-term care insurance, which very many people nowadays, this is a very hot topic because with all the baby boomers, that's the big generation that everyone talks about. A lot of their parents are, you know, getting to that age where some of them may be in long-term care. They start needing help. And long-term care isn't just the nursing home that you go into. It can be at-home health care. It can be adult daycare, things like that. And some of the statistics around this are very troubling almost, that there's a 68% probability of not being able to perform two of the five activities of daily living at some point in your life or being cognitively impaired. So when we talk about activities of daily living, that's when we get into the eating, bathing, dressing yourself, all that kind of stuff. So there's almost a 7 in 10 chance that at some point in your life you're not going to be able to do two of those, and this is where that long-term care insurance would kick in. And a lot of the long-term care is, you know, it's not like it used to be. It's changed a lot over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, where it used to be if you don't use it, you lose it and things like that. But there's all kinds of different benefits, linked benefits with life insurance and all that kind of stuff when it comes into this. So long-term care is a huge way to protect your estate. Because if you think about it, if you go into a nursing home, the average nursing home in this area nowadays is in that $70,000, $80,000 a year range. So if we're in there for 10 years, well, you just burnt through, you know, $800,000, $900,000. It's a vast majority of people's whole estate right there if something happens to just one of you and you're in there for that long. Now, if both parents go in and things like that, you can see these numbers can get very astronomical. So it's a very important piece of the whole financial plan that we talk about.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Close to $70,000 to $80,000 a year on average in just in this area for long-term care. And yeah, gosh, 10 years. Yeah, that for two people especially, that can certainly add up. All the more reason to get your retirement planning in place. And you can call us right now if you have any questions at all about this. 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about tax planning and something called 1035 and 1031 exchanges. And we will get into Social Security. This is the Michael Coogan Show. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome back to it. Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, klaasfinancial.com. That's klaasfinancial.com is the website. We're going to ask the Klaus Quiz question of the week shortly. The winner to that will get a $25 gift card for Starbucks. We were talking before the break about long-term care insurance and life insurance. How important is tax planning, gentlemen, to my overall financial plan?
Yeah, that is a great question, Mike. And in reality, it's probably one of the most important aspects of the planning process when you have accumulated your dollars and you're looking to start distributing out of them. From a planning standpoint or estate planning standpoint, your income taxes will have the biggest impact, obviously, on a yearly basis. For individuals, when we're looking in that area, you know, we point out, again, that we are not accountants or CPAs, so we don't actually do the tax returns, but very familiar with what impacts it will have on it for individuals. And one of the start points is, again, what kind of money have you accumulated? In other words, do you have 401k money, IRA money, Roth IRA money? Do you have money that maybe you've saved up or invested that you'd already paid taxes on, what I would call non-IRA money? Because all of those will impact the type of income taxes you'll be paying throughout retirement when you start pulling money out of it. If you have dollars that are in Roth IRAs, as you've heard us talk about in the past,
yes,
you put those dollars in after tax and they grow and come out tax-free. For non-IRA dollars, it's the same from the standpoint of putting the dollars and investing them on it after you've already paid taxes on them. However, when the dollars do come out, they're partially taxable with different types of taxes called capital gains or dividend income. If you have those types of accounts and can blend your income together with those along with your 401k or IRA dollars, you may be able to efficiently reduce your overall taxes on an annual basis and have more of a blended approach. So there are some strategy potentials depending on, again, what type of dollars you've accumulated and what types of accounts. Some of the other things that we have asked many times is, let's say, for example, that you recently inherited an IRA account from a parent or from a relative or something. What impact does that have on you? How can I pull that money out? What kind of an income tax issue, if any, is there? When you inherit dollars and you're not the spouse, then you have to do that magical acronym called minimum required distributions that you hear us talk about on retirement accounts. It's 70.5. However, in this case, when you're not a spouse and inherit retirement money, you have to actually start the required distribution the year after the death of the individual you inherited it from. And it's based on your age over your lifetime. There's a little bit difference there.
Yeah. We've heard those terms before. And another term I've heard more recently, which I'd like explain if you don't mind, is a 1035 and a 1031 exchange. What are those exactly?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. So this goes into kind of a tax planning space as well. So a 1035 exchange is exchanging typically insurance contracts, whether they be life insurance contracts or annuities, which you hear us talk about a lot. Most common a 1035 exchange is moving from one annuity into another annuity. So what that does, by doing a 1035 exchange, you're still getting that tax-deferred growth, which is the whole purpose of purchasing an annuity many times, so that we're not paying those capital gains tax every year like Steve was just talking about. The 1031 exchange is a little bit different. That has to do with real estate transactions. So this one doesn't apply to a whole lot of people, but real estate investors, people that have multiple rental properties, things like that, would know a little bit more about the 1031. But it's essentially, if you're selling an investment property, you can roll those proceeds into another investment property. And again, just defer those capital gains taxes for a little bit longer. So,
Now, we talk about Social Security on the show. Heck, we've spent entire Money in Motion shows about Social Security. But in a nutshell, what are the important facts for listeners to know about Social Security?
Yeah, Social Security, we talk about it so often because it's such a large piece of the whole retirement planning space and retirement planning setup that we go through with people. So the earliest you can begin receiving Social Security, as you've heard us talk about, is age 62. So a lot of times this is the trigger for people. This is when they say, I'm going to retire at 62 because then I can begin receiving my Social Security. Most people's full retirement age now is between 66 and 67, depending on when you were born. And that is the point at which you can pull your retirement benefits from Social Security without any penalties or decreases in the amount that you receive. The other big age is age 70. So that is the age at which it no longer grows. Every year that you hold off on Social Security, you get what they call delayed retirement credits of about 8% a year. So essentially what that means is if you don't start taking it at 62, it grows 8% a year until you decide to start taking it. That is only up until age 70. Once you hit age 70, there's no more 8% bump every year. So that's a big one that we discuss with people. So really, once you hit age 70, there's no reason to hold off on taking it anymore. You get the highest amount it's going to be for your lifetime, and then you can still make as much as you want income-wise as well. There's a great tool out there for people. It's SSA.gov. That is the government website for the Social Security Administration. So you can log on and check your benefit there. So we have a lot of people do that so that we know most accurately as we can what your Social Security benefit is going to be when you go to retire. So we encourage everybody to just log on there occasionally and see what your benefit is. That, again, just helps us with the planning process so we can see what your retirement income is really going to look like.
And finally, important birthdays over 50. Our listeners who have listened to the show from the beginning might have heard these birthdays before. I'm talking about Money in Motion segments going back over a year. But for those who haven't, there are many important birthdays once you hit 50 that listeners should be aware of. And what are those ages?
Well, that's a great question, Mike. The first three ages are really wrapped more around your access to your retirement dollars, be it your IRA or your 401k if you're no longer at your employer. And from a contribution standpoint, age 50, once you hit that age, then you can actually have a catch-up provision within your IRA or your 401k, which would in the 401k add $6,000 and for the IRA add another $1,500 to the number. The trigger to be able to access your IRA accounts without an IRS penalty is age 59 and a half. If you leave your employer and decide to retire, you can actually withdraw money out of your 401k without an early withdrawal penalty starting at age 55. Then those magic ages that Kyle just alluded to a minute ago for Social Security, be it age 62 for the earliest trigger at this point in time, 65 for anybody that probably is retiring today would be your full Social Security age. For people in the not-too-distant future, it would probably be age 66 to 67. And then at age 70 and a half is when everybody has to start withdrawing from their IRAs. If they're no longer working at an employer, they would also need to start withdrawing from their 401k plans as well. So those are some of those ages that you hear us talk about more than once.
And I have a quick question. Age window of 66, 67 to 70. If you don't take Social Security, your delayed retirement credit can go up every year a certain amount, but that stops at age 70, right? Does it make any sense then to take it before 70, or if you want to kind of wait till 70 because you'll have a lot more money, right?
Yeah, that depends on, that's an individual decision as far as if they need their Social Security before they hit age 70, but you're okay. Right, if they wait until age 70, then that's the biggest amount that they're going to get, so it doesn't make sense to wait past 70 in order to start pulling it.
Okay. All right, and we are going to ask our Kloss Quiz question of the week right now. And I kind of, I said it pretty recently, I'll just say that, but I had a legitimate question to this. The number to call is 815-877-8440 if you want to win a $25 gift card for Starbucks. 815-877-8440 is the phone number to call. That is Kloss Financial. And the question is, at what age does your Social Security benefit stop growing if you have not taken it out yet? Again, at what age does your Social Security benefit stop growing if you have not taken it out yet? I'll give you a hint. It's not 30 years old. It's a bit older than 30.
Slightly.
Yeah, slightly older than 30. 815-877-8440 is the phone number. Steve and Kyle, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Is there anything else you would like to add that we didn't cover before we say goodbye this week?
I think just really quick summary on that, on Social Security again, is as Kyle pointed out, it is really an individual choice and selection as to when you start it. So you want to take a look at it from each of your perspectives as spouses, for example, or if you're single, it could be a whole different story. There are multiple strategies involved, but realize once you implement one, it's not reversible. So it is a decision process. You need some take some time and do add that to your coordinated retirement planning.
Okay, that is important. Listeners, if you have any questions at all about this, I encourage you to call 877-8440, 877-8440 in the 815 area code, or go to klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Kyle, big game tonight for your Vikings. Best of luck. Hopefully they'll be 4-0 after tonight.
Yep, hopefully.
And Steve, the Chicago Bears, they won. I know that doesn't help their draft pick possibilities next year, but hey, you always got to root for the team, right?
Absolutely. Go Bears.
And next time we talk, we'll have some Cubs playoff games finally under our belt.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes, that kicks off this weekend, baseball postseason. All right, well, that's going to do it for this hour of the Michael Coolidge Show and these Kloss Financial Money in Motion segments. Until next time, we'll see you at Coolidge.com and KlossFinancial.com. And no matter what you do, keep that radio on.